Section 1, the basics. Here, introduction. This section covers very basic information about the Braille light, what it looks like, what to expect when you turn it on for the first time, how to set up the voice to your liking, how to read with the Braille display, and how to navigate around the menu system. If you're already generally familiar with how to operate your Braille light, you may wish to skim most of this section, but we do recommend you read the parts marked with an asterisk so you don't miss out on any new features or information about your unit. Let's start by giving the Braille light a physical to see what it looks like and to learn the basics about its use. The Braille light is about the size of a video cassette and about twice its height. This keyboard consists of the standard 7-key layout of a Perkins-style Braille writer, and it has an 18-cell Braille display. The rubber seat on its bottom prevents the machine from sliding around as you work. Place the unit in front of you with the Braille display closest to you. With the unit turned off, the Braille display looks like a row of grade 2 Braille 4 signs, FOR signs, dots 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Looking at the Braille light with the Braille display closest to you, first notice the long bar immediately in back of the Braille display. This is the advanced bar, and we'll be using it a lot to move the Braille shown on the display at any given time. You can't confuse the advanced bar with the space bar because the space bar on the Braille light feels just like the one on your standard Perkins-style Braille writer. In fact, here in back and slightly above the advanced bar on the Braille light, and you'll find the 7-key Perkins-style Braille writer setup with which you're probably already familiar. If you have a Braille in speech or have ever worked with one, you'll quickly see that the Braille light is very much like it, except that it's a little heavier, taller, and bigger from front to back than the Braille in speech to accommodate the Braille display. If you've ever worked with a refreshable Braille display device, for example, Telesensory's VersaBraille, or the Navigator, or HumanWare's Alva, or MiniBraille, the concept of a movable or refreshable Braille display and the advanced bar will be familiar. But we'll assume that you may have no experience with such a device and spend a little time explaining the concept. New. At first, it may seem that having 18 cells of Braille displayed at a time is not very practical. In fact, most of the refreshable Braille display devices today show up to 40 or even 80 cells of Braille at a time. Our own Braille Light 40, for instance, has a 40-cell Braille display. But this 18-cell version is less costly than the Braille Light 40 and is suitable for most situations. The advanced bar moves the Braille instantly forward, and you'll find that not having physically to slide your hands very much while reading can be a plus. The Braille Light display can show either 6-dot or 8-dot Braille. 8-dot Braille can be handy, especially when reading computer Braille and for keeping track of where you're writing, as we'll see later. The display can hold up to 18 cells of Braille at a time, but you can control whether it does indeed show that many at a time. You may find it more practical to have the display show characters only up to the end of a line of text, or to have the display not break up words at odd places, and so on. We'll get into all these details in due course, so now just be aware that you have a great deal of control over how the display actually shows you the Braille, and even whether it shows you Braille at all. Yes, there are times you may even wish to turn it off. Now, let's continue examining the Braille light itself. Find the right corner closest to you and slide your fingers toward the back of the unit. About halfway, you'll find the on-off rocker switch. To turn the door light on, rock the switch away from you. To turn it off, rock it towards you. Immediately in back of the on-off rocker switch, there's an earphone jack. You can use this jack to connect your braille light to an external speaker or a patch cord to send the braille light's voice output to a tape recorder. New. Now find the left corner of the unit closest to you. Slide your finger toward the back of the machine and find an indented rectangular opening along the left side. Feel carefully within this opening and notice the two round DIN, D-I-N, ports with tiny little holes in them. They feel virtually identical, one toward the front of the rectangular opening and the other toward the back, and they're separated by two vertical bars that are practically flush with the ports themselves. In fact, the ports perform the same function. They are both used to connect the braille light to other devices. The cable that came with the braille light can be plugged into either of the ports and act as a serial port to connect you to another braille light, a braille speak, a computer, a modem, a printer, and even Lazy Engineering's own portable disk drive. Peripheral. See Chapter 15 for detailed information about connecting your unit to other devices, and see Chapter 14 for details on connecting the portable disk drive. Move. In back of the rectangular opening for the two ports is the input jack for the AC power supply battery charger. Directly under the rectangular opening for the two ports and the AC jack is the larger port with a lot of tiny holes in it. This is the female parallel port that you can use to connect your braille light directly to a printer that uses that type of connection. We'll talk about printers in detail in Section 4. New. Warning. When charging the braille light's built-in battery, you should use the 12-volt charger supplied with the unit. Do not use an old 9-volt charger you may have lying around from a previous version of the braille speak. See Appendix E for information about chargers. Substituting another transformer which looks or feels like the correct one, but which has the internal voltage requirements, could destroy chips or other critical parts of your unit. If you have access to a braille speak or a portable disk drive whose charger is 12 volts, you can now substitute that 12-volt charger for the braille light charger. They are all interchangeable. Under normal usage, the fully charged braille light functions properly under battery power for up to 30 hours, and it only takes about 2 to 4 hours to fully charge a braille light. However, the length of time a braille light can function under battery power varies according to how you use it. For example, to use the braille light to communicate with another computer, you must activate the serial port. Heavy use of the serial port with the braille light on battery power rather than on AC drains the battery more quickly. Note. Although we offer an emergency cable that lets you power the braille and speak from an external battery in case you can't charge your battery immediately, this emergency cable is not available for the braille light. Also, if the Braille Light 2000 is an upgrade for you, it's critical that you check out Appendix E, which charger to use, for details about which models of the Braille Light work with chargers. There is a very handy safety feature on the Braille Light relevant to battery usage. The Braille Light warns you when the battery starts getting low and continues to warn you every time you press a key, until you take action. Experiment with your individual machine to see how much time it actually operates after the battery low message first occurs. Operating your braille light for too long at a low voltage condition may cause the scrambling of data stored in the machine. Should this happen, you may be able to recover the data, as we'll see later. If you do decide to experiment with the length of battery usage and your data, don't have any data you'd desperately need to keep, at least not until you're familiar with how to recover data on a Bell Light. The Bell Light comes fully charged from the factory, but eventually you'll need to recharge the battery. Once you have done so, you must remember to set the battery use timer. We'll show you how to do that shortly. The optimal way to use the Braille light is to keep it turned off most of the time, when you are not actually doing something with it. In other words, if you are not reading, writing, computing, or transmitting data, keep the unit turned off. The great thing is that turning it off does not erase your data, and turning it back on instantly places you wherever you last stopped. In fact, the Braille light does not like to be ignored. It reminds you, by voice and on its Braille display, that it is still turned on with a hello message if you have not pressed a key within 5 minutes. And it continues to try to get your attention in this way until you react, either by pressing a key or by turning off the unit. If you should have the Braille light's voice turned off and be working only with the Braille display, you'll hear a beep instead of seeing the word hello as a reminder. Now, let's go to work. Chapter 1, Getting Started. Point 1, the first time out. Before we do anything else with the Braille light, let's learn how to use the advance bar. It is critical at the outset that you understand how the advance bar works to avoid confusion between what the Braille light speaks and what it displays. Recall that the advance bar is the long bar located between the Braille display and the person's style keyboard. Tapping the right end of the advance bar moves the Braille display forward. Tapping the left end of the advance bar moves the Braille display backward. Just how much forward or backward the Braille display moves may vary slightly, depending on how you have the unit set. When it comes from the factory, the display will show you as many as 18 characters at a time. By the way, in computer land, faces are characters too. If possible, the Braille light will try not to break up words in the middle. It will show you something like 105 East, followed by what appears to be a bunch of empty cells or spaces, and then Jericho. When you tap the advance bar forward, rather than showing you part of the word Jericho, before you tap the advance bar and the rest after you tap it again to move the display. Of course, there may be times when you do want the display to show you as much as possible at a time, and we'll show you how to do that eventually. When you do want both speech and Braille turned on, you will often experience a slight difference between the two, which at first may seem confusing. Since speech is not restricted to the 18-character limit of the Braille display, the Braille light's voice will frequently race ahead of the Braille display. No problem. Simply tap the advance bar as many times as necessary to read the entire message that has just been spoken. Even if you're in the middle of reading a file, if you have the Braille display and the speech both turned on, and you issue a command, the Braille light will, of course, speak and display any prompts related to the command. Such prompts or messages are never entered into your file by the Braille light automatically. The unit merely lets you read the message by allowing you to tap the advance bar as many times as you need in order to read the entire message, and then returns you to whatever you were reading. The way the bill light displays certain messages varies slightly from what you hear, however. As we go through this manual, we'll point out where these variations occur. For the most part, when a message on the bill display is different from that which is spoken, it is because we wanted to give you as much information as possible within the 18-character limit and chose to truncate some messages on the bill display accordingly. For example, instead of prompting you that a file has 12 pages and spelling out the 12 for the word pages, the bill light displays 12p, even though it speaks 12 pages. Messages and prompts on the braille display are either in grade 1 braille or computer braille. From the factory, the braille light is set to display prompts and messages in grade 1 braille. But we'll show you how to change this should you prefer messages and prompts in computer braille. Again, don't worry too much right now if all this seems bewildering and unwieldy. It really isn't, because the advanced bar moves the braille virtually instantaneously, probably faster than you could move your hands to read the next line of a physical braille page. In any case, at first, we'll walk you through reading any prompts that are longer than 18 characters on the braille display, and we'll always specify exactly how prompts that are truncated on the braille display differ from spoken ones. For the sake of clarity, the first few times we ask you to look at the display, we'll tell you specifically how many times you need to tap the advance bar to see the entire message. After a while, though, we'll assume that you understand that when a message is longer than 18 characters, you need to tap the advance bar to see the entire message displayed. So we'll mostly continue to use the words amount and says when referring to braille light prompts. We'll assume you have both braille and speech turned on, unless we specifically ask you to turn one or the other off. Since the braille display can operate slightly differently when speech is turned off altogether, we'll show you how that works in section 2, in a part called scrolling the braille display. Once you're comfortable with the braille light, or if you're in a setting where the braille light's verbal startup prompt might disturb the meeting, for example, you might choose to start up your braille light silently. To do this, simply hold down the space bar as you turn on the unit. A click indicates that the braille light is ready for use. And if you had speech turned off already from a previous session, pressing the space bar as you power up the unit won't turn on the speech, as in the case of earlier revisions of the braille light. Now, here are a couple of ways to power up the braille light. You don't have to have the voice and the display on at the same time. For example, if you had speech on in your last session, but now want to turn on the braille light with the voice off and only the braille display on, hold down the braille dot for the letter B as you turn on the unit. Conversely, if you want to start the braille light with the braille display off and only the voice on, hold down the braille dot for the letter F while you turn on the unit. For the moment, though, we'll recommend you refrain from playing around with powering up your braille light using some of these techniques. We still haven't talked about how you can reverse these settings when the braille light is turned on. Now, let's assume you're starting from scratch with the braille light set up as it comes straight from the factory. Turn the braille light on by flipping the on-off rocker switch away from you. The unit says, "Braille light ready, hatch is open." If this does not happen, flip the rocker switch back toward you to the off position, and plug the AC power supply battery charger into the AC jack and switch the switch on again. You should then hear the announcement, Bell Light Ready, service open. 0-HELP-22339. The number after the name of the car may vary slightly on your unit, depending on how recent your update is. Ironically, you already have more information on the braille display than was spoken in this case. What your braille display stops on is information about this file that is currently open. Such number in the Braille Light file numbering system, which we'll talk about in section 2, the file's name, and its size in terms of the number of characters in the file. All of these pieces of information will be explained in section 2 in great detail. For now, let's just see what happens if you tap the advance bar on the Braille display. Tap the right end of the advance bar, and you'll instantly see Braille Light 2000, Help. Press it again to see File, Writing, and again to see Functions. In fact, if you wish, you can keep tapping the right end of the advance bar and continue reading. You're way ahead of Braille Speak users who are still waiting to find out about how to work with the Braille Speak voice and how to get the Braille Speak to read anything. Go ahead and move the display backward by tapping the left end of the advance bar. Eventually, you'll see Copper File, which obviously means that you're back at the beginning of the file. Notice that while you've been moving about with the advanced file, the Braille Light has not spoken again. For that, you'll have to read the next chapter in this section, and the first chapter of section 2 that shows you how to work with the Braille Light's voice. Let's continue now with learning about files. News. 1.2, the concept of files and folders. Think of the Braille Light, as it comes from the factory, as a nearly empty three-ring binder, just waiting for you to fill it with your own personal data. Usually a three-ring binder comes with tabs or separators of some kind to indicate the start of a new section in the binder. Each tagged section, then, can be considered a distinct file. And in fact, with so much storage capacity in the Braille Light 2000, you're really not limited to just one binder of files, so to speak. There's no reason why you can't have a number of binders or folders to contain groups of files you want to keep together. We'll discuss the new folders capability of the Braille Light at length in section 6.12. For now, just be aware that you'll be able to store your files and programs in folders, so you can keep them organized to your liking. The Braille Light comes with a number of files ready for your use. The number of files may vary, depending on whether we have included files that contain the latest update information and so on. But there are some files that are permanently stored in the Braille Light from the factory. The help file contains a summary of the commands you use to operate the Braille Light. The clipboard file is like a blank scratch pad or task card, more on this later. Although not a permanent file, we include a file called calendar.brl, which is ready for you to cram with your busy schedule. Note, if you have upgraded your unit to a Braille Light 2000, you may have added to it your old calendar file that did not have the .brl extension. Not to worry, the calendar alert feature in the new Braille Light will still recognize the calendar file and work properly. Read more about .brl, .bfn, and .erf extensions in section 4.2. Another file we often include for your convenience, but which is not permanent, is the Spelling Dictionary program file. It is a file called spell.doc. Unlike the Help, Clipboard, and Calendar files, whose contents you can actually read, the spell.doc file is a program file. In other words, this is the file that contains a program the brain can access to help you do spell checking, rather than a file that you can read yourself. We'll talk about the spell checking commands in detail in Chapter 12. The Spelling Dictionary does take up a considerable chunk of space in the Braillite's RAM memory, however, so you may choose to leave it off into the flash portion of your unit's memory, or remove it altogether from your unit. Another program file that may come on your Braillite from the factory is the bsname.bns program file. Again, this is the file the Braillite can access, not you. It works with the flash ROM capability of your Braillite. Your machine's serial number is already branded into its flash ROM read-only memory. And the bsname.bns program lets you brand your name into your Braillite permanently. We'll talk about how to run external programs like this one in detail in Chapter 16. Move. Notice that we've now used the terms flash and RAM to refer to the memory in your unit. In the next section, we'll discuss what these terms mean and how you can use the expanded memory capabilities in your machine to store and work with a much larger amount of material than ever before. The Braillite's memory. We at Blazer Engineering appreciate how challenging it would be to part with your Braillite whenever you wish to take advantage of the new features in our latest releases. Now, your unit is equipped with the capability of letting you update your unit yourself. This is called Flash ROM, read-only memory. Check out section 16.1 to see how to update your unit to the latest software release. Now, what's this talk about RAM and flash all about? In the introduction to this manual, we mentioned that your Braillite can store up to the equivalent of 740 pages of RAM in RAM and over 1,800 in flash memory. That's a lot for such a tiny device. What does this mean, and how does it work? What we've done is provide you with 768 kilobytes of RAM, random access memory, space where you can edit your files and run external programs, and in addition, another 2 megabytes of flash memory, where you can store files you just want to read or edit later, and programs while you're not running them. Don't confuse the term super flash ROM, which is the Braillite's ability to allow you to update its software and brand your personal name into it, with flash memory. Here, we're simply talking about an area of memory in your unit where your files can be stored so you can read them, or stored for safekeeping until you need to edit them, or run them, if there are program files. As you'll see in section 16.12, the process of moving files between RAM and flash is quite easy and quick. Now, let's continue learning how to use the basic features of the Braillite. Section 4. How to use the commands. As we said earlier, when you start up the Braillite for the first time, after the announcement, Braillite ready, you hear the prompt, help is open. Also remember that whenever you turn it off, the Braillite keeps your place for you, wherever you had stopped in a file. When you turn it on, it reminds you where you left off by announcing the name of the file you left open. when teachers were first time out, the bell light announces that we have the help file open. All of the bell light commands are produced by chording. If you've ever played a piano or other keyboard instrument, you know that a chord refers to any two or more keys pressed together. Isn't that what you do anyway when you bowl, you might ask? Yes, but for our purposes, chording means pressing any combination of the bell dots along with the space bar. So, for example, if we say press the all chord, we mean press the space bar together with that one key too, the bell letter R. Making sure to press all the keys simultaneously. Whenever we refer to a chord for a bell symbol other than a letter of the alphabet, we will write out the exact dots to be pressed in parentheses for clarity. So, for example, when referring to an AR sign in grade 2 Braille, we will also write out dots 3, 4, 5 in parentheses. There are several levels of commands in the Braille light: commands for bringing up menus of options, commands for navigating through your files and for performing various editing functions within those files, and commands for utilizing the Braille light's built-in tools, such as running a stopwatch or storing to a floppy disk, or computing a formula. We'll get to each of these in separate chapters. For now, let's just stick to the basic commands you need to get started. The Braille light is pretty forgiving when it comes to aborting a command procedure. We usually press an E chord to enter or execute a command, but most of the time, if you change your mind in midstream, you can cancel the process with a Z chord. Depending on what you are doing, the Braille light responds to an E chord by either performing a command or by exiting a menu that you have entered 9 minutes later. But if you do halt the command procedure with a Z chord, the Braille light announces abort. Point 5, the concept of menus. As we mentioned above, the Braille light has a set of commands creating these menus. Just as a restaurant menu offers you choices of food, menus on a computer offer you choices of functions to perform. And a submenu offers more levels of choice. Continuing our restaurant menu analogy, let's say that the major menu is for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Then, if you pick the dinner menu, you'll see choices for appetizers, entrees, desserts, and beverages. Clearly, you'll then need to check out each of those sets of choices for which appetizer, entree, and beverage you want. And if you're very good, you'll skip the set of dessert choices. The Braille light menu system works very much like a restaurant menu. Basically, there is an options menu, a seat parameters menu, a status menu, and a parameters menu. Like the dessert menu, each menu in the Braille light provides you with choices of its own. For example, from the options menu, you have choices like calendar check, file commands, calculator, stopwatch, and spell check, as well as many others. Some of the menus are for performing functions and issuing commands. Some, like the status menu, are for setting things to work to your specifications, like turning a setting on and off, or switching among a setting's various modes. You can navigate through all the choices in a Braille light menu quite easily. When you issue a command that brings up a set of choices, you can either write a specific letter that selects the choice you want, or you can cycle through the choices till you find the specific one you want. You move forward through the choices with a .4 chord, backward with a .1 chord. To move to the first choice in a menu, press an L chord, and to move to the last choice, press a .456 chord. Of course, the Braille display shows you the choices as the voice speaks them. To hear the current choice repeated, press a C chord. Once you hear the choice you want, you press an E chord to select it. Sometimes B still brings up another set of choices for submenus. We'll show you those types of menus in section 2. For now, let's look at 3 of the major menus in the door light. The options menu is one of the most important menus in the bear world. You'll be using it a lot, and after a short time, you probably won't need to cycle through its choices. You'll just know them automatically. But since we're just starting out, let's show you how to browse through these choices. We'll only cycle through the choices at this time, not select any to work with in particular. From the help file that you currently have open, press an O code to bring up the options menu. The bear light says options. Press a C code to hear the current choice. The bear light should say current effect. Go ahead and press .4 chords and .1 chords to hear the numerous choices in this menu. The last choice you'll hear is execute program. If you press another .4 chord after hearing that choice, you'll simply hear a click to let you know you're at the end of the choices. Likewise, if you press a .1 chord at the top of the list of choices, you'll hear a click to let you know you're at the beginning of the choices. Press all chords and .456 chords to jump to and from the first and last choices in the menu. Stop somewhere in the middle of the choices and press a C chord to hear the current choice spoken again. Though it may be tempting, try to refrain from pressing an E chord on any of the choices, since we haven't talked about any of them in detail. But if you're adventurous and happen to press an E chord on a choice, you can always get out of trouble fast by pressing a Z chord. Doing so brings you back to your file, wherever you had stopped. In our case, that's the help file, and we should be right at the beginning of the file. Menu 1.5.2, the status menu. The status menu contains information about the status of each setting in the bear light. In this menu, you'll find selections such as format parameters, serial parameters, and so on. Don't worry about these terms right now. Let's just skim through the choices on the status menu for practice. Bring up the status menu from wherever you are by pressing an ST sign chord, .34 chord. You should hear status menu interactive on. The display shows you interactive on. Move around through the choices by pressing .4 chords and .1 chords. Or use the advance bar to move through the choices by tapping the right end to move forward and the left end to move backwards through the menus. There are lots of choices, and it may get confusing to listen to and see so many settings that are unfamiliar. So jump to the last choice with a .456 chord. You should hear reverse advance off. Jump back to the first choice with an all chord or with another .4 chord. If you jump to the beginning of the choices with an L chord, or if you press a .1 chord repeatedly to bring you back to the beginning, pressing another .1 chord cycles you around to the last choice again. Stop somewhere in the middle and press a C chord to hear the current choice. You can get out of the status menu with an E chord or a Z chord. When you're on a particular setting, it can be changed by writing a specific response, usually the letter Y to turn it on and the letter N to turn it off. If a setting has multiple options, you can cycle among them by pressing the space bar repeatedly until the bear light speaks and displays the one you want, and then press an E chord to enter the status menu. But for the moment, we'll simply focus on cycling through the choices themselves, so these details aren't important. We'll discuss each and every choice on the status menu specifically as we learn about it. Another way to jump quickly to some of the major groups of settings in the status menu please depress that 5-6 chord to move forward, or that 2-3 chord to move backward. These commands move you to the fourth setting in a major group, for example, from the first choice into active 1, to which you return with an L chord, if you've moved beyond it in your practice, also dot 5-6 chord. You'll hear stereo parameters, interactive on. Press the same command and hear miscellaneous parameters, bell translator on. A third time brings you to format parameters, printers Epson compatible. A fourth time says bell display parameters, bell display on. And one more cycles you back to stereo parameters, interactive on. Cycle backwards through these major groups with that 2-3 chord. Again, this procedure simply jumps you to the fifth choice in a major group of choices to save you time as you cycle through this large menu. Of course, the fastest way of all to select a choice is to know what character to write that selects it. As we go through the choices in the status menu as they come up in this manual, we will detail each choice and its corresponding character that selects it quickly. One nice thing about the status menu is that it remembers what setting you chose last and places you there the next time you enter the status menu. So for example, if you stop on battery use and then exit the status menu, the next time you enter the status menu, you'll be right there at that setting. And while we're here, it's a good time to show you two very important settings because they may affect you sooner than you might think. These are the battery use setting and the percent of charging setting. Move 1, 2, 5, 3. How to handle the built-in battery. If you've upgraded your Bell Light to the Bell Light 2000, take a look at Appendix E, which charger to use. Older models of the Bell and Speak use the charger with a lower voltage than the 12-volt charger we have always provided for the Bell Light. If you try to charge your Bell Light 2000 with the wrong charger, say a 9-volt charger for an older model of the Bell and Speak, you may end up with a non-working unit on your hands. So read through Appendix E carefully to see which charger to use in your particular situation. Recall that we said earlier how important it is to be aware of the length of time your battery has been running since you last charged your Bell Light. The Bell Light warns you when its battery is running low with a battery low message. But periodically, you should check what percentage of battery drain you have. Enter the status menu from wherever you are with an S2-sign chord, that 3-4 chord, and write an S8-sign, that 1-4-6. By the way, this happens to be the computer bell symbol for percent. Depending on whether or not it is being charged when you issue the S8-sign command, the Bell Light says and displays one of two possible messages: 100% not charging, or X% charging. 100% not charging means just that. The Bell Light is either not plugged into an outlet, or it is plugged into an outlet, but is fully charged. X% charging means that the Bell Light is plugged into an outlet and the battery is being charged. The closer the percentage is to 100, the closer the battery is to a full charge. You'll be able to watch the percentage rise on the display if you don't press an E chord to exit the status menu right away. When you have checked the status of battery drain, you can exit the status menu with the usual E chord. Once you recharge the battery, it's a good idea to go into the status menu and set the battery drain counter back to zero, so that you have an accurate reading of how well your unit is retaining its charge. Enter the status menu with an S2-sign chord, and then select the choice Battery Use by writing a TH sign, dot 1456, to bring you directly to the setting. A TH sign is computer bell for question mark. The bell light says something like battery use 0 hours, 10 minutes. Of course, the actual time depends on how long your unit has run since its last charge. We don't mean how much time has passed since you last turned on the unit, but how long it's been since the bell light was last charged. If you've just recharged the battery and want to bring the timer back to zero, press or drop to 0.356. The bell light says, reset battery timer, YM. To reset the timer, write a Y for yes. You're here, 0 hours, 0 minutes. If you don't want to reset the timer, just write an N. In either case, once you've made a choice, you can exit the status menu in the usual way with an E chord. Reversing the advance dial. As we saw in section 1.5.2, the last case on the status menu is reverse advance, and it's set to off from the factory. Recall our description of what effect tapping the advance bar produces on the braille display. Tapping the right end of the bar moves the braille display forward up to 18 characters worth of text. Tapping the left end of the bar moves you backward. If you like, you can reverse this movement. Bring up the status menu, if you're not already there, with an ST sign chord, .34 chord. Now jump to the last setting with a .456 chord. You hear reverse advance off. Write a Y to reverse the setting, then enter the status menu with an E chord. You should be back in the only file we've explored so far, the help file. Read through the help file with the advance bar, tapping each end of the advance bar to see which way the display moves. We think you'll see the display move forward when you tap the left end of the bar, and move backward when you tap the right end of the advance bar. Clearly, using the advance bar in reverse is a personal preference. Chances are, if you're right-handed, you'll probably want to change the setting back to off in the status menu. So tapping the right end of the advance bar moves forward and tapping the left end moves backward. It's up to you. The parameters menu. The parameters menu works the same way as the options menu. From anywhere within your currently open file, enter the parameters menu with a key chord. The bell light says and displays enter parameter. As you see the numerous choices in this menu, forward with .4 chords and backwards with .1 chords. You can see the current choice is a C chord. Jump to the last choice with a .456 chord, and back to the first choice with an L chord. Many of the choices available in the parameters menu are also available in the status menu. The major difference between the two menus is that the status menu tells you how a setting is currently set, whereas the parameters menu simply expects you to change a setting. You select a setting to change by pressing an E chord. Then you see it and hear it spoken. For practice only, let's cycle through the settings. From your currently open file, the help file, press a C chord. At the prompt, enter parameter, press a C chord to hear the first choice. Add line feed. Again, don't worry that you may not know what that means. You'll find out soon enough. Now, press .4 chords and .1 chords to cycle forward and backward through this menu. The last choice should be serial number. Since we don't really want to do anything in particular for now, just press a Z chord at any time to return to your currently open file, the help file. Should you press an E chord on a choice, don't fret. Again, just get out with a Z chord and nothing will happen. As we have pointed out in the beginning of this section on menus, we'll get into the specific choices of each menu when we need them, as we learn how to use the features of the bell light. For now, just remember that when you first turn on the bell light, you'll always see in the last file you worked on wherever you had left off in that file. If you want to do something from a menu, you have to issue a command to get to it. What's nice is that when you're finished using the menu, the Bearlight remembers to put you right back into your file just where you last were. In that file. Now let's move on to setting up the Bearlight's voice to your taste. Since you're used to listening to speech synthesizers, the factory settings may seem slow and cumbersome. You can change them to make the voice talk just as you like it.